Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru podcast, and here we are, the top five most dramatic moments in rugby league history. Remember, this magazine was published in 2007, so only runs until then. On Monday morning, we're going to have another podcast taking a deep dive into some of the moments. We're going to pick 10 moments that we think should be included on this list that have happened since 2007. There is going to be an absolute heap. As I said, the first five installments, they are available on the Rugby League Guru podcast. Go back, have a listen to them. If you listen to this on Saturday morning, go back and have a listen to the other ones. There's some really entertaining content in there, some unbelievable stories and some things that would only happen in rugby league. And you might think that you know stories in rugby league, but I promise you, some of these you don't know. You've never heard of them before, and they were mind-blowing. I still can't believe some of them are true. They are crazy. Let's dive into the top five, though, to finish off this one. Number five, the origin of Origin, July 8, 1980. It is Origin legend, but it's also a myth. Artie Beetson didn't throw a wild punch at Eels mate Mick Cronin on Origin's first ever night in 1980, but at age 35, he certainly did go on a physical rampage in his first match in the Maroons jersey. And that performance ensured that State of Origin became more than a one-night exhibition farce that so many critics had predicted, but indeed its greatest modern innovation. Beetson collected Blues prop Gary Hambly around the throat in the second tackle of the game. He later held Graham Wynn by one hand and delivered a vicious uppercut with the other after Wynn had sparked a brawl. There were only 15 minutes remaining when the Cronin incident happened. Beetson threw a loose left arm around Cronin's chin as Cronin stood in a tackle to offload. As he played the ball, Cronin looked around as if to say, "Who the hell was that?" Queensland fielding homegrown players who had returned from the New South Wales competition won that first Origin clash 20-10, and Beetson was the dominant player. On a night where the winning team received 10% of gate takings, about $2,000 a man. After the brutal opener, Beetson and Cronin sat next to each other on the plane trip back to Sydney the next day. Shout out to Cronin, champion fella running the pub down at Gerringong where our holiday house is. Champion fella, legendary bloke. Absolutely love him. Artie Beetson, one of the greatest ever. And without this night, I don't think Origin would exist. And I think now we're so used to Origin, we're so used to it being probably the climax of our season outside of the grand final. Probably you could argue Origin's bigger. But when it first came in, you read those old reports and everything, everyone thought it was just doomed for failure. They just could not possibly envision this being a success. And that's 1980. That's 42 years ago now, which is just crazy. And Artie Beetson, he set the tone for State of Origin. He set the tone for rugby league for a long time. A real game changer, Artie Beetson, at age 35, playing the best of the best. Unreal stuff. Let's move to number four. Bulldogs salary cap disgrace. August 23, 2002. The Bulldogs became the first team to be caught cheating the salary cap in the same season of the offence and suffered the heaviest penalty ever inflicted on a club. The Bulldogs were 5 points clear at the head of the competition ladder after the second longest winning streak in Premiership history, 17 victories, and with just 3 rounds remaining in the regular season. But when journalists stumbled upon secret payments to players while investigating the league's club's Liverpool Hotel Clubhouse Stadium complex, the story exposed the most blatant salary cap rort the game has seen. An NRL investigation found the Bulldogs had cheated the $3.2 million cap by $1.5 million. They were immediately stripped of 37 competition points and fined $500,000. The outfall saw CEO Bob Hagan resign in disgrace, an instigator of the undeclared extra payments. League's club chairman, Gary McIntyre, pled guilty to the breaches and resigned his position as Bulldogs football and league's club power broker. Unbelievable stuff in 2002. That Bulldogs team, they were close to unbeatable. They were sensational. So many highlights from that season. I think about the Hazemel Masri conversion from the sideline against the Newcastle Knights. Willie Mason with the afro. A young Brayton Astor burst onto the scene. He was incredible. Shifty Sherwin as well. All these guys, that they just had everything taken away from them. Rightly so. They were over the salary cap, but they had it all taken away from them. They had to rebuild themselves. And of course, as the narrative goes, 2002, the Bulldogs, they get all their points stripped. The Roosters go on to play the Warriors in the grand final. I think the Warriors win the minor premiership. The Roosters beat them in the grand final 30-8, led by Brad Fittler and Craig Fitzgibbon. 2003 rolls around, and the Roosters have to play the Bulldogs in the 2003 prelim final. Now, it was the grand final we all thought we deserved from 2002. We got it in the prelim. The Roosters won, of course. It was probably the best game of their year. They then went on and lost to the Panthers the next week in the grand final. Go forward another year. Year and the 2004 grand final rolls around, and we finally get the grand final that we wanted from the early 2000s. The Sydney Roosters, the 2002 premiers, taking on the Canterbury Bulldogs, who probably would have been the 2002 premiers. And what a grand final it was. The Canterbury Bulldogs, they finally completed their mission. They went right to the top. They got it all taken off them. Then they climbed back their way back up. They went to the prelim in 03. Then they won it in 4, defeating the Roosters 16-13. I was at that game. Unbelievable stuff. Such a good game to be at. I still always say, I think it was the loudest noise I've ever heard when that full-time siren went. Canterbury fans, they hit different. There's something else. Let's move to number 3. Messenger signs, a game is born. This is from August 1907. It was without a doubt the biggest coup in the attempted establishment of a breakaway league from the wealthy rugby union. The day union's leading star, Herbert Dally Messenger, became a rebel. With the Northern Union already 12 years old in England, there had been ill feeling in Australia about rugby's refusal to compensate players for work time lost because of injury. Rumblings were on the increase, and businessman James Giltinan and cricketer and sports store owner Victor Trumper were attempting to gather a rebel team to play New Zealand All Golds while en route to England. In early August 1907, Gilton and Trumper took a taxi ride from the city to Double Bay to entice Messenger to commit to play against the All Golds. With this strong-willed mother's approval, Messenger took the massive gamble to break ranks, and the new rugby league had the credibility and drawing power to become a reality. From that point on, players flooded into the new league. Incredible stuff there. Of course, Dally Messenger, he is still remembered today. The Dally M Medal is named after him. Dally Messenger, champion player. A couple of other games there. Obviously, the Giltinan Shield. I believe that's the minor premiership shield that we hand out. Victor Trumper, obviously very famous in Australian sport as well. So that's really where the game started there. Our moment number 3 came all the way from 1907. Incredible stuff. Number 2. Very interesting one. We've spoken about this one a lot on the podcast. Had a number of people share their stories from this crazy time. Number 2, March 31, 1995, the Super League War. It represents the greatest upheaval in the game's history, and our judges rate it the most dramatic off-field moment in rugby league. The chain of events that followed the April Fool's weekend raids that unveiled the Super League. The threat of a Super League had been real for 6 months, but the bold signing raid by News Limited in the first days of April in 1995 shook the sporting world. In the first 2 days, players and officials from Canterbury, Canberra, Brisbane, Cronulla and Auckland accepted lucrative offers to create a rival competition after a bid by News to share pay TV rights was rejected. It sparked a week of player signing frenzies as both camps desperately acquired talent, with Optus and Kerry Packer leaping behind the ARL as they battled their greatest threat. Penrith, North Queensland and the Perth Reds were to follow, and new clubs, Hunter Mariners and Adelaide Rams, were formed after the previously Super League friendly Newcastle sided with the ARL when most of their players stayed loyal. The Super League war split the game for more than 2.5 years, feeding millions into the pockets of legal eagles. Long-time friendships were broken as the most emotional issue the game has known divided loyalties. But the legacy was some wonderful innovations, new professionalism, increased wages for players, and the current National Rugby League, formed from an ARL Super League compromised accord in December 1997. A key term of the accord, that the competition be reduced from 20 to 14 teams, saw the banishment of foundation clubs South Sydney and North Sydney from season 2000 onwards. The Rabbitohs and the Bears failed to meet the criteria for inclusion in the NRL. North's were found to be over $5 million in debt, undoing their move to the Central Coast, where they had successfully lobbied to have a stadium built. But South fans, as many as 40,000, took to the streets to protest the axing, and the club would not give up. The game's most successful team with 20 premierships went to court and were reinstated in 2002, and of course lifted their 21st premiership title in 2014. Unbelievable story, the Super League war. You spoke about relationships breaking down. Obviously, we've had Brett Finch on the podcast a couple of times. His father, Robert Finch, who essentially built part of the Newcastle Knights, yeah, especially when they won the comp in 1997. He was the guy that had coached Matty, Andrew, all these young guys all the way through the juniors, and all of a sudden he was the guy left out in the rain, essentially, in Newcastle. Their house was vandalised. The Mariners' training facilities were vandalised constantly. It was an ugly, ugly thing to be a part of, obviously. We've heard a lot of stories about relationships that have broken down. We also had Tony Durkin, the Queensland editor for Rugby League Week, on the podcast. My great uncle, I think he is. And, you know, talking to him about how it unfolded up there in Brisbane, it was simply incredible. It really did divide the competition. And, you know, I was pretty young, obviously. I was only a couple years old, so I don't remember it overly well, but imagine, you know, Super Saturday footy, and there's two rugby league competitions going on between teams that used to play against each other 18 months with new jerseys. It was just a sensational time, such a strange time in rugby league, and then to see them come back together, but without some of the greatest clubs to ever exist, the South Sydney Rabbitohs, the North Sydney Bears. Crazy to think about. Super League, I knew it would be in the top 10. Not surprised to see it so high on the list. Let's move to number one, the most dramatic moment in rugby league history. And this one's an interesting one. I wouldn't quite call it a moment, but it is a moment in time.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
1956 to 1966, 11 years, an achievement never to be matched. Perhaps the most enduring moment, the best represents St George's feat of winning a record 11 straight premierships, an achievement that is unlikely to be matched in major world sport, is of captain Norm Provan being chaired above the admiring crowd after the 1965 grand final victory over South Sydney. It was a remarkable day, and then record crowd of 78,000 caused the gates to be closed at the SCG, and people perched themselves on any conceivable viewing position, including the roofs of stands in inside the perimeter fence and at the rear of a pavilion at the adjacent Sydney Showground, which was hosting a motor show. Proven was playing his final match and was the only Dragon to have played in all 10 grand finals. After he led his side to a 12-8 win over the Rabbitohs, fans swarmed onto the field to bid him farewell. The next year, the Dragons beat Balmain 23-4 with Ian Walsh captain coach to make it 11 in a row. The run ended in the prelim final in 1967, played under the four-tackle rule with a 12-11 loss to Canterbury. Obviously, Norm Proven there, we mentioned him, obviously passed away a couple of months ago. Extremely sad, an absolute icon of our game. This is incredible what the Dragons did during that time. And we mentioned this earlier in the countdown that it's believed, or that the rumour always was, that the limited tackle game was, or the limited tackle rule was brought into rugby league to try and stop these Dragons. And it did to some extent. I think they still went out in the prelim final, as I said. I think they were minor premiers. But to go 11 in a row is unbelievable. Now, obviously, when you think Norm Proven, you obviously think of Proven and Summons. Arthur Summons, Norm Proven, Arthur Summons. And this is just another little addition in here. And how timely is this? As unfortunately, we've lost these two rugby league legends over the last 18 months. And a moment never to be forgotten. August 24, 1963. The images of mud-caked opposing captains Norm Proven and Arthur Summons, the Gladiators, is a stirring memento of the 1963 St. George West Grand Final and the most lasting image of the Saints' mighty period of dominance. But the enduring appeal of John O'Grady's wonderful portrait that is today's Premiership trophy masks the real controversy of the Dragons' most hotly debated title during the 11-year Premiership reign. The performance of Darcy Lawler in his final match before retirement was diabolical, according to West players and fans, highlighted by the controversial try to John King, with West players believing he was tackled. Saints triumphed 8-3, conceding a grand final try for the first time since 1958 and won the penalties 18-7. We've also spoken about that grand final, Darcy Lawler, with a controversial refereeing performance there. But Arthur Summons, Norm Proven, two absolute legends. The game is worse off for not having them here anymore, but the game will forever be better for having them as part of our game at one point or another. They live on through the NRL trophy, which is great to see. Guys, that wraps up our top 100 most dramatic moments in rugby league history. This one was written in 2007, so I believe if you were to write it right now, there'd be a lot of chapters that would be added. I think you could add probably 10 or 15 things to this list of 100. I'm going to add another 10 on Monday morning. So this weekend, I'm going to sit down, get out the notepad and pen, and start to write some down and work out which 10 I would add in. I don't think I could put them in order. I think it'd just be too difficult, but I'm going to work out the 10 moments that I would add to this list from the last, it's even more than 10 years, isn't it? It's almost 15 years. It's going to be really hard to do. I've got a couple in mind that I know will automatically go in, but stay tuned. Monday morning, that content will be coming your way.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.